Chapter 2. I was the whole day in the wood. Weary now, I have turned in at a little country inn and taken a room for the night. The bed is already open, but I do not want to sleep yet. I sit down in the window and listen to the stirrings of the spring night. Shadows flit about among the trees, and up from the woods come cries, as though wounded were lying there. I look quietly and composedly out into the darkness, for I am afraid of the past no longer. I look into its quenched eyes without flinching. I even go out to meet it. I send my thoughts back into the dugouts and shell holes, but when they return, they bring back neither fear nor horror with them, but only strength and will. I have awaited a storm that should deliver me, pluck me away, and now it has come softly, even without my knowledge. But it is here. While I was despairing, thinking everything lost, it was already quietly growing. I had thought that division was always an end. Now I know that growth also is division. And growth means relinquishing. And growth has no end. One part of my life was given over to the service of destruction. It belonged to hate, to enmity, to killing. But life remained in me. And that in itself is enough, of itself almost a purpose and a way. I will work in myself and be ready. I will bestir my hands and my thoughts. I will not take myself very seriously, nor push on when sometimes I should like to be still. There are many things to be built, and almost everything to repair. It is enough that I work to dig out again what was buried during the years of shells and machine guns. Not everyone need be a pioneer. There is employment for feebler hands, lesser powers. It is there I mean to look for my place. Then the dead will be silenced, and the past not pursue me any more. It will assist me instead. How simple it is, but how long it has taken to arrive there. And I might still be wandering in the wilderness, have fallen victim to the wire snares and the detonators, had Ludwig's death not gone up before us like a rocket, lighting to us the way. We despaired when we saw how that great stream of feeling common to us all, that will to a new life shorn of follies, a life recaptured on the confines of death, did not sweep away before it all survived half-truth and self-interest, so to make a new course for itself, but instead of that merely trickled away in the marshes of forgetfulness, was lost among the bogs of fine phrases, and dribbled away along the ditches of social activities, of cares and occupations. But today I know that all life is perhaps only a getting ready, a ferment in the individual, in many cells, in many channels, each for himself. And if the cells and channels of a tree but take up and carry farther the onward urging sap, there will emerge at the last rustling and sunlit branches, crowns of leaves and freedom. I will begin. It will not be that consummation of which we dreamed in our youth and that we expected after the years out there. It will be a road like other roads, with stones and good stretches, with places torn up, with villages and fields, a road of toil. And I shall be alone. Perhaps sometimes I shall find someone to go with me a stage of the journey, but for all of it, probably no one. And I may often have to hump my pack still, when my shoulders are already weary, often hesitate at the crossways and boundaries, often have to leave something behind me, often stumble and fall. But I will get up again, and not just lie there. I will go on and not look back. Perhaps I shall never be really happy again. Perhaps the war has destroyed that. And no doubt I shall always be a little inattentive and nowhere quite at home. But I shall probably never be wholly unhappy either, for something will always be there to sustain me. Be it merely my own hands, or a tree, or the breathing earth. The sap mounts in the stems, the buds burst with faint sound, and the darkness is full of the noises of growth. There is night in the room and the moon. There is life in the room. It creaks in the furniture. The table cracks, and the wardrobe also. Many years ago, someone felled these and split them, planed them and worked them into things of utility, into chairs and beds. But each springtime, in the darkness of the sap, it stirs and reverberates in them again. They waken. They stretch themselves. They are mere objects of use no longer, no longer chairs for a purpose. Once again, they have part in the streaming and flowing outside. The boards under my feet creak and move of themselves. The wood of the windowsill cracks under my hands, and in front of the door, even the splintered, decaying trunk of a lime tree by the roadside is thrusting out fat, brown buds. In a few weeks, it too will have little, silken green leaves, as surely as the wide-spreading branches of the plane tree overshadowing it. The End. This is Graham Halstead. We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Road Back by Eric Maria Remarque. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.